Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the first part of the Gospel lesson recorded in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That is our text. In the name of Jesus, dearly beloved, this morning, under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit and on the basis of the words of these texts, our loving Savior touches our innermost heart. First of all, to call us to repentance, and secondly, to initiate His gracious and saving action. It is the inclination of the human heart, legalistically, to place blame, linking tragedy with a specific sin. Where the strong and would-be comforters simply express the same fallacies found in our text. We have the right to deal compassionately with God's people in our ministry in Christ's name. I hereby taught very specifically that we should not draw such conclusions. That is God's business. The purpose of tragedy, the purpose of catastrophe, is to call sinful and fallen mankind to repentance. And this our Lord makes abundantly clear. We don't know precisely why this group of Jews came to Jesus, whether it was to challenge him to lead an insurrection against the Roman tyrant Pilate, or whether it was to help to fix blame somehow in terms of grading sin. What we do know, however, is Christ's answer. He lets them know that the Galileans, although certainly not righteous and respectable Jews in the strictest sense, were not part of that catastrophe because of their terribly sinful nature. He also made it clear by disarming them completely and saying, "You're talking as righteous and respectable Jews, so look at the Tower of Siloam. Those were Jews like you. And yet they also fell before the catastrophe." Jesus was earnestly imploring them to search their own hearts, to discover their sinful nature, and to hear and heed the call to repentance. Instead, it appears that they turned a deaf ear. For some of them, in a few years, as the city of Jerusalem was reduced to rubble, would fall before the Roman sword. And this word of truth was fulfilled for them. They perished there. Our Savior addresses these words to us this morning as we prepare for the sacred meal that He has provided for us. He is calling us to repentance this morning. It's almost as if we were reading the morning newspaper as we read our text. The firestorms of California, the rock slides of Yosemite, the war in Iraq and Iran, which threatens to escalate to a worldwide conflagration, the violence and terror and sudden death that is abroad in our streets today, all of these are familiar to us, and that could strike terror in our hearts. But if we hear these catastrophes and tragedies aright, we will hear also the loving voice of Jesus calling us to repentance, and thereby He initiates His gracious and saving action. He comes to us this morning as our loving Lord. He mounted willingly the altar of the cross in our stead and for our sins. He rose from the dead to pronounce our victory over death. And He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father as King of kings and Lord of lords. This morning He is inviting us, not only by our call to repentance, but as we confess our sins, as the guilt is removed by His precious blood, we will receive in this Holy Supper the seal and surety of heaven itself, his body and blood, inwritten under the bread and wine of the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, indeed, this morning our loving Savior has touched our innermost heart. It is not at all surprising that even the behavioral sciences, rooted as they are in humanism, could discover some of these properties of the human heart. Anna Freud, some 1900 years after this text was penned, the illustrious daughter of Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, discovered what she called defense mechanisms, the means whereby the human being defends his or her ego. And she hypothesized two processes, one denial and the other projection. Denial is the means whereby the human heart refuses to acknowledge the attributes and conflicts within its darker recesses, marked by sin and tragedy, and tries to sweep the heart clean by denying the presence of this evil, and then punitively projects these attributes and these conflicts to other people about them in order to make themselves feel better. This apparently seems to have been somewhat the mechanism that prompted the Jews to come to Jesus. May our loving Redeemer then deal with us gently and lovingly as he always has, convince us that we are to confess our sins, to repent, and to come to him for forgiveness. This we do with joy and exaltation this morning. May our Savior bless our worshiping together, our eating of this precious meal, and our dedication of our lives, and our proclamation of his saving grace. Amen.